Hare Krishna. So we are reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, text 43. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. In Sri Bhagavat Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami has written conclusively about the ultimate end of devotional service. Purport. The Bhagavat Sandarbha is also known as the Shat Sandarbha. In the first part called Tattva Sandarbha, it is proved that Srimad Bhagavatam is the most authoritative evidence directly pointing to the absolute truth. The second Sandarbha, called Bhagavat Sandarbha, draws a distinction between impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma and describes the spiritual world and the domination of the mode of goodness, devoid of contamination by the other two material modes. In other words, there is a vivid description of the transcendental position known as Shuddha Sattva. Material goodness is apt to be contaminated by the other two material qualities, ignorance and passion. But when one is situated in the Shuddha Sattva position, there is no chance for such contamination. It is a spiritual platform of pure goodness. The potency of the Supreme Lord and the living entity is also described, and there is a description of the inconceivable energies and varieties of energies of the Lord. The potencies are divided into categories: internal, external, personal, marginal, and so forth. There are also discussions of the eternality of deity worship, the omnipotence of the deity, his all-pervasiveness, his giving shelter to everyone, his subtle and gross potencies, his personal manifestations, his expressions of form, quality, and pastimes, his transcendental position, and his complete form. It is also stated that everything pertaining to the Absolute has the same potency, and that the spiritual world, the associates in the spiritual world, and the threefold energies of the Lord in the spiritual world are all transcendental. There are further discussions concerning the differences between the impersonal Brahman and the personality of Godhead, the fullness of the personality of Godhead, the objective of all Vedic knowledge, the personal potencies of the Lord, and the personality of Godhead as the original author of Vedic knowledge. The third Sandarbha is called Paramatma Sandarbha. And in this book, there is a description of Paramatma, the Supersoul, and an explanation of how the Supersoul exists in millions and millions of living entities. There are discussions of the differences between the qualitative incarnations and discourses concerning the living entities, Maya, the material world, the theory of transformation, the illusory energy, the sameness of this world, and the Supersoul, and the truth about this material world. In this connection, the opinions of Sridhar Swami are given. It is stated that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although devoid of material qualities, superintends all material activities. There is also a discussion of how the Leela Avatar incarnations respond to the desires of the devotees and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is characterized by six opulences. The fourth Sandarbha is called Krishna Sandarbha. And in this book, Krishna is proved to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are discussions of Krishna's pastimes and qualities, his superintendence of the Purusha Avataras and so forth. The opinions of Sridhar Swami are corroborated. In each and every scripture, the supremacy of Krishna is stressed. Baladeva, Sankarsana and other expansions of Krishna are emanations of Mahashankarsana. All the incarnations and expansions exist simultaneously in the body of Krishna, who is described as two-handed. There are also descriptions of the Goloka planet, Vrindavan, the eternal place of Krishna, the identity of Goloka and Vrindavan, the Yadavas and the cowherd boys, both eternal associates of Krishna, the equality of the manifest and unmanifest pastimes, Sri Krishna's manifestation in Gokula, the queens of Dwarka as expansions of the internal potency, and superior to them, the super excellent gopis. There is also a list of the gopis' names and a discussion of the topmost position of Srimati Radharani. The fifth Sandarbha is called Bhakti Sandarbha, And in this book, there is a discussion of how devotional service can be directly executed and how such service can be adjusted, either directly or indirectly. There is a discussion of the knowledge of all kinds of scripture, the establishment of the Vedic institution of Varnashram, bhakti as superior to fruitive activity, and so forth. It is also stated that without devotional service, even a brahmana is condemned. There are discussions of the process of karma tyaga, the giving of the results of karma to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the practices of mystic yoga and philosophical speculation, which are deprecated as simply hard labor. Worship of the demigods is discouraged, and worship of a Vaishnava is considered exalted. No respect is given to the non-devotees. There are discussions of how one can be liberated even in this life, Jivan Mukta, Lord Shiva as a devotee, and how a bhakta and his devotional service are eternally existing. It is stated that through bhakti, one can attain all success, because bhakti is transcendental to the material qualities. There is a discussion of how the self is manifest through bhakti. There is also a discussion of the self's bliss, as well as how bhakti, even imperfectly executed, enables one to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unmotivated devotional service is highly praised, and an explanation is given of how each devotee can achieve the platform of unmotivated service by association with other devotees. There is a discussion of the differences between the Mahabhagavata and the ordinary devotee, the symptoms of philosophical speculation, the symptoms of self-worship or aham graha upasana, the symptoms of devotional service, the symptoms of imaginary perfection, the acceptance of regulative principles, service to the spiritual master, the Mahabhagavat liberated devotee, and service to him, service to Vaishnavas in general, the principles of hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offenses in worship, offensive effects, prayers, engaging oneself as an eternal servant of the Lord, making friendships with the Lord and the surrendering everything to for his pleasure. There is also a discussion of Raganuga Bhakti, spontaneous love of Godhead, of the specific purpose of becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, and a comparative study of other perfectional stages. The sixth Sandarbha is called Preeti Sandarbha, a thesis on love of Godhead. Here it is stated that through love of Godhead, one becomes perfectly liberated and attains the highest goal of life. A distinction is made between the liberated condition of a personalist and that of an impersonalist, and there is a discussion of liberation during one's lifetime, as distinguished from liberation from material bondage. Of all kinds of liberation, liberation in loving service to the Lord is described as the most exalted, and meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face is shown to be the highest perfection of life. Immediate liberation is contrasted with liberation by a gradual process. Both realization of Brahman and meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are described as liberation within one's lifetime. But meeting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both internally and externally, is shown as super excellent, above the transcendental realization of Brahman effulgence. There is a comparative study of liberation as Salokya, Samipya, and Sarupya. Samipya is better than Salokya. Devotional service is considered to be liberation with greater facilities, and there is a discussion of how to obtain it. There are also discussions of the transcendental state one achieves after attaining the devotional platform, which is the exact position of love of Godhead, the marginal symptoms of transcendental love, and how it is awakened, the distinction between so-called love and transcendental love on the platform of love of Godhead, and different types of humors and mellows enjoyed in relishing the lusty affairs of the gopis, which are different from mundane affairs, which in turn are symbolic representations of pure love for Krishna. There are also discussions of bhakti mixed with philosophical speculation, the super excellence of the love of the gopis, the differences between opulent devotional service and loving devotional service, the exalted positions of the residents of Gokula, the progressively exalted position of the friends of Krishna, the gopas and the gopis in parental love with Krishna, and finally, the super excellence of the love of the gopis and that of Srimati Radharani. There is also a discussion of how spiritual feelings can be present when one simply imitates them, and of how such mellows are far superior to the ordinary mellows of mundane love. And there are descriptions of different ecstasies, the awakening of ecstasy, transcendental qualities, the distinction of dhirodhata, the utmost attractiveness of conjugal love, the ecstatic features, the permanent ecstatic features, the mellows divided in five transcendental features of direct loving service and indirect loving service, considered in seven divisions. Finally, there is a discussion of overlapping of different rasas, and there are discussions of shanta, neutrality, servitorship, taking shelter, parental love, conjugal love, direct transcendental enjoyment, and enjoyment in separation, previous attraction, and the glories of Srimati Radharani. Om Adnanti Mirandasya Snananjana Shalakaya Chakshirun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namahum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Nabine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So that was a long purport. 4 pages. Generally, when there is a lot to say, Srila Prabhupada's purports are long. When there is a lot to discuss. And this is a beautiful verse. I'm actually proxying in for somebody else. I don't know who was meant to give the class, but I was just asked to step in as a last minute. So forgive me for my lack of preparation. This particular verse describes the work of Srila Jiva Goswami. It says, Shri Bhagavata Sandarbha Nama Grantha Bistar. He expanded or he elaborated on a grantha, on a scripture known as Bhagavata Sandarbha. Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, this book is also known as Shat Sandarbha. Shat Sandarbha because there are 6 books. The original name of this book was Bhagavata Sandarbha. And then that book was compiled into 6 books. So there's a lot to say and a lot to meditate on. Srila Prabhupada has given a synopsis of the entire work, 6 books, in so many words. I would like to speak a little bit about Jiva Goswami, and then perhaps we will see how it goes. Attempt to give you a little bit of a feel for the 6 sandarbhas. I came across the 6 sandarbhas when I was a teenager, and one of my friends who was studying Vedanta at the university, he told me that the best explanation of Vedanta is in these sandarbhas. I was only 15 years old, and he gave me the book, the original copy in Sanskrit. It didn't make a sense at all. The subject matter was so deep that to even delve into the first few pages was quite an effort. But then I sought some help and studied it with another Vaishnava. And I finished studying it when I was 19 years old. But I never gave up reading the 6 sandarbhas. And I'll tell you why. But let's start with the life of Jiva Goswami. So Jiva Goswami was born, or he appeared as we say, in Ramakeli, Ramkeli is a village in the outskirts of West Bengal, on the bank of the Ganges. And in Ramkeli lived three brothers, Anupama, also known as Sri Vallabha, his brother Rupa and Sanatana, who later became Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Anupam was a great devotee of Bhagwan Ramachandra. He, in fact, even when Rupa and Sanatana requested him to chant the names of Krishna, he could not say the names of Krishna. He was ecstatically chanting the names of Ramachandra. This is described in Antyalila by Kaviraj Goswami. So, Jiva Goswami, when he was a little boy, Mahaprabhu visited his home. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the house of Anupam, Jiva Goswami was just a little toddler crawling. And he came crawling to Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu sat there and he asked, "Whose Jiva is this?" This boy didn't have a name that time. So Mahaprabhu said, "Whose Jiva is this?" And Anupam said, "Mahaprabhu, this is your Jiva." "Oh, is he my Jiva? But every Jiva has free will. How do I know that he is my Jiva?" At that moment, little toddler Jiva Goswami stood up and started sucking the toe of the right foot of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And everyone said, "Hari Bol, this is the proof that he has chosen to take your shelter." So this is how Jiva Goswami's appearance was, very divine. He had all the lakshanas of a great devotee. He, at a very early age, took sannyas and he went to West Bengal. Well, he was in West Bengal, but he went to Nadia, where Mahaprabhu's devotees were. Mahaprabhu had already left the planet. He met Nityananda Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu, he fell at his feet and said, "Please give me your instruction." Nityananda Prabhu gave the instruction, "You go to Madhusudan Vachaspati." Madhusudan Vachaspati was a disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya of Puri. We know Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Madhusudan Vachaspati was a great scholar of Vedanta and Sanskrit grammar. So Nityananda Prabhu said, "First you go to Madhusudan Vachaspati, take your training from him, and then you go to join your uncles in Vrindavan." And lovingly Nityananda Prabhu said, "Mahaprabhu has given Vrindavan for your family affair, for your family, because your uncles are there, you also go there. All of you need to be in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place for you." So, Jiva Goswami first went to Kashi to take training on grammar and Vedanta. He learnt from Madhusudan Vachaspati for a couple of years, and afterwards he went to join his uncles in Vrindavan. And obviously in Vrindavan we know Jiva Goswami started serving his uncles. How did he serve his uncles? Anyone knows? What did he do? How did he serve his uncles? He started serving his uncles by doing three things. Massaging their feet, because both his uncles would do a full parikrama of Govardhan every day. So they were elderly, so he would massage their feet. He would gather all the papers for them to do the translation. So he would gather palm leaves, boil them, then dry them in the sun. He would gather peacock feathers. He would gather charcoal, burnt on a copper vessel, and then mix that with glue, rice starch, and that is black ink. That is what the Europeans first imported from India. Ink is an Indian invention. They call it India ink or Indian ink even now. The highest quality ink is India ink. So he would make this ink, make the pen from peacock feather and the palm leaves he would prepare for Rupa and Sanatan to write on. And then the third thing he did was editing work. Now so sharp was he that he would take, Rupa Goswami would give him some work that he was compiling and he would say, please Jiva, you do the editing, Sanskrit editing. So he would put Rupa Goswami's work on the left, he would put an empty palm leaf on the right, and with the left hand he would make the corrections to Rupa Goswami's original work, and with the right hand simultaneously he would write a commentary on that verse at the same time. So he would finish both the correction and the commentary of that work together and he would give it to his uncles. His uncles were great scholars, especially Rupa Goswami. Sanatan Goswami was known in Vrindavan as Bodo Baba. Even now, Sanatan Goswami's birthday is celebrated all around Vraj as Munda Purnima. Munda means bald. Sanatan Goswami's birthday is still celebrated because in entire Vraj, anyone had any problem, they would go to Sanatan Goswami. If one man's cow went into another man's field and he claimed the cow to resolve the fight, they would go to Sanatan Baba. You resolve the fight, Baba. So he would give his verdict. So he was beloved of the Brajvasis, but he would be very quiet. But Rupa Goswami was known as the Pandit. He was the scholar. But he was very humble. So we see in Jiva Goswami's life how he defended Rupa Goswami's position. Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami did not give initiation to anyone with the exception of Jiva. Rupa Goswami gave initiation only to Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, we have one incident. I'm just looking at the clock there and I want to go through the six sandarbhas if I can. So I had a few episodes to share about Jiva Goswami, but I will share one, which you all know, by the way. There was once a Digvijay Pandit who was going around all across India challenging everyone. And as he entered the Mathura Mandal is the outskirts of Mathura, he would go to the temple and he would ask, who is the scholar, the most well-known scholar in this location? Because all the scholars would go to temple, right? To worship the Lord. So the priests of the temple would know who the scholars are. So the priest said, oh, in the entire Mathura Mandal, there is no scholar bigger than Rupa Goswami. So this Digvijay Pandit said, okay, I will challenge him. So he found out Rupa Goswami and he challenged him. He said, Goswamiji, I want to debate with you. Please debate with me on the subject of your choice. You see, this is arrogance. Subject of your choice. Rupa Goswami is a devotee. He was humble. So he said, I cannot debate with a scholar like you. Okay then, if you accept defeat, you write it and give that you have accepted defeat. So they used to have a talapatra. He would carry with him. So he gave his talapatra, which is a palm leaf, in which Rupa Goswami wrote, Rupaha Parajitoham. This is signature of Rupa Goswami, and then Parajitoham. I am defeated, he wrote. And this Digvijay took that slip, and with elephant and horses and lot of ceremony, he was going away from there. And on the way, he saw Jiva Goswami. And he had Jiva's name also on the list of scholars. So he said, hey, you, where are you running away? You debate with me. I've defeated your uncle. Now I will defeat you. Jiva Goswami said, have you really defeated my uncle? He just has better things to do, so he didn't bother with you. You know, sometimes a little child comes to bother you. You say, no, no, okay, go. You give him a sweet and you let him go. Like that, he made fun of this Digvijay Pandit. Digvijay Pandit became red in face. He said, you debate with me. Jiva Goswami said, I will debate with you on the subject of your choice. He just felt, oh, this is exact words I used for Rupa Goswami. And then Jiva Goswami was given the subject of Alankara and then Vedanta. And the Digvijay Pandit could not open his mouth. As Jiva Goswami was speaking, he could not open his mouth. Such was the scholarship of Jiva Goswami. The unfortunate thing that happened with our Sampradaya, the Gaudiya Sampradaya, was that after the disappearance of Mahaprabhu, everything started becoming mixed and falling apart. The Goswamis were old, most of them had left. Rupa and Sanatan had left. Gopal Bhatta was there. Raghunath Bhatta was there. Kaviraj Goswami was there. Loknath Pad was there. Raghunath Bhatta had left. So very few were there and they were very old. They were just in their own bhajan, in Radhakund mainly. They were not traveling or preaching. So many, many upper sampradayas started to crop up. This is what happens when Siddhanta is lost. When in any movement, spiritual movement, when the basic principles are not understood and they are lost, then degradation starts. So Jiva Goswami saw this, and in 10-12 years time it was so degraded that he started to think, what should I do to bring back the Siddhanta of Mahaprabhu in its pure form? And at that point, he wrote Bhagavata Sandarbha. He found a manuscript of Gopala Bhatta Goswami. And that is why in Tattva Sandarbha, the first of the six Sandarbhas, he attributes this work to Gopala Bhatta Goswami. Gopala Bhatta Goswami was the one who first collected these verses and wrote an essay. Jiva Goswami rearranged that essay. So here are some of the beauties of this work and the importance of this work. First of all, up until now, in all philosophical systems, Vedic philosophical systems, three sources of knowledge were accepted. Do we know that? Anyone? Prasthana Trayi. Prasthana means source. Trayi means three. Three sources of bona fide knowledge, as accepted by Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya and Ramanujacharya. Huh? Prasthana Trayi. Three literatures. Vedanta, which is Brahma Sutras, then Bhagavad Gita, and not Bhagavad, Upanishads. The Upanishads. So if anyone wants to have any discussion on philosophical subject, they have to either speak on the Upanishads or Bhagavad Gita or Brahma Sutra. Three. Prasthana Trayi. Vallabhacharya, who was a contemporary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was the first one in his Tatvartha Deep Nibandh. He is the first one to add a fourth pramana. He says these three are pramanas. These three can be accepted. Upanishads can be accepted. Vedanta Sutra can be accepted. Bhagavad Gita can be accepted. But there is a fourth which also needs to be accepted as a pramana for understanding the Supreme. And what is the fourth? So he says Vedaha, which is Upanishads, Shri Krishna Vakyani, which is Bhagavad Gita, Vyasa Sutrani Chaivahi, and the Vyasa Sutra, Brahma Sutra. But the fourth one is Samadhi Bhasha Vyasasya, that which Vyas spoke in Samadhi. What did he speak in Samadhi? Yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is Samadhi Bhasha. That's why Sridhar Swami writes, actually not Sridhar Swami, but it's a long pastime, but there is a verse which says, Sridharo Sakalam Vetti, Sridhar Swami knows, Shiva knows Bhagavatam, Sridhar Swami knows Bhagavatam, Vyaso Vetti na Vetti va. But Vyasdev may know Bhagavatam, may not know Bhagavatam. Somebody will say, how the author does not know? If we say, Mahabharata written by Krishna Dharma Prabhu, we say, Krishna Dharma Prabhu may know, may not know. That is not possible. He has written the book, he must know. But Vyasdev did not write the book after studying something. He wrote the book in Samadhi. That is why when he came back out of Samadhi, he did not understand his work. So he went, when Shukadeva was speaking to Parikshit, he went there to listen. What did I write? Somebody has to explain. So this is the reason why Vyasadeva may not know. So here, Samadhi Bhasha of Vyasadeva, Pranam Pramanam Tat Chatushtayam. Vallabhacharya introduced the fourth pramana. And you cannot just introduce a fourth pramana. You have to fight for it. You have to debate and prove to all the other scholars that this fourth pramana is the actual acceptable pramana. And the scholars accepted Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami went one step further. So there were originally three pramanas. Prasthana Trayi became Prasthana Chatushtayam. Jiva Goswami says in Tattva Sandarbha, in his Anuchet 24, he proves Tattva Sandarbha is the first of the six books. In the first book, the first thing he proves is the supremacy of Srimad Bhagavatam. He concludes in the 24th Anucheda, Shri Bhagavata Matam Tu Sarva Matanam Adhisha Rupam Iti Suchakam. Sarva Matanam Adhisha Rupam. Of all opinions, whether it be Upanishads, Vedanta, Bhagavad Gita, everything can be erased. The higher opinion is there in Bhagavat. So he did not say that there are four books like Vallabhacharya. He did not say three books like Ramanuja, Nimbarka, Madhva and Shankara. He said there is only one literature which can take you to the goal, and that is Bhagavad. So this is the boldness of, and that is why this work was originally known as Bhagavat Sandarbha, because it is all about Bhagavat. So how is this work written? This work is nothing but a collection of verses from Bhagavata and its explanation. They are not in chronological order, but thematic order. There are six themes, which become six books. But before that, what is the importance of Bhagavat? It was established in Vrindavan, and even today, it is established in Vrindavan, that real scholarship is known through one's understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam. And there's a verse, beautiful verse. Dhananjaye Hataka Sampariksha. If you want to test real gold, how do you test it? Hataka means gold. You want to test gold? You put it in fire, Dhananjaye. Then you can know which is real gold. If it is plastic gold, it'll burn. Right? Plastic will burn. Something else will burn. How do you test one who knows weaponry? महारणे शस्त्रभृताम परीक्षा, शस्त्रभृताम, वन हु नोज वेपनरी, महारणे, समबडी में से आई एम वेरी पावरफुल, आई नो सो मेनी वेपनरी, यू नो डिफरेंट वेपन्स, टेल हिम ओके देयर इज अ वॉर गोइंग ऑन, प्लीज गो देयर एंड यू विल गेट द टेस्ट, दैट इज अ टेस्ट. नेक्स्ट वन इज वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग. I am not saying this, so please, my wife is also in the audience. It says, Vipatti kale grihini pariksha. The test of a wife is how well she supports the husband when the husband is in trouble. Vipatti kale grihini pariksha. And the last line is, Vidyavatam bhagavata pariksha. How do you test one who is really educated? Test him on Srimad Bhagavatam. That is the real test of education. So this is the measure that was set in Vrindavan. Even today, if you go to Vrindavan or Mathura Mandal anywhere and you speak Vedas or Upanishads, Rig Veda, they will not even hear. They will say, okay, can you discuss Bhagavatam? This is the importance. And Bhagavatam cannot be understood without these sandarbhas. This Srimad Bhagavatam is said, sandarbha yena nadhita. One who has not read the sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, tasya bhagavate shramaha. For them, when they try to read Bhagavatam, it is very difficult to grasp. But sandarbha yena chadhita, one who has studied the sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, nasti bhagavate brahmaha. For that person, there is no confusion in understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was mandatory before reading Srimad Bhagavatam to read and understand the sandarbha with a guru, with a, someday maybe in the college, our Sutta Babu will do a course on sandarbhas. That will be good. Because Bhagavatam cannot be understood in itself. Now, the inspiration for the sandarbha came from the verse in the Bhagavatam, the second chapter, verse number 10. Jivasya Tattva Jidnasa. The goal of life is to understand, the goal for all jivas is to understand what is a tattva. What is the supreme, who is the supreme being? Who am I? What is my relation with him? If one does not understand that, then one's entire life is a waste. And then we know this famous verse, Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas. The knowers of tattva, they categorize this supreme tattva in three categories. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavaniti Shabdate. Brahmeti Paramatmeti and Bhagavan. So this verse was the inspiration for Jiva Goswami to write his sandarbhas. Tattva sandarbha, the first one. The name also comes from this verse. Tattva means epistemology, or you understand what is epistemology? How do you understand knowledge? So the first tattva sandarbha is divided into two parts. First part of tattva sandarbha speaks about pramana. Pramana, or what is the source of knowledge? What is the proof? And the source of knowledge is, he proves, is Srimad Bhagavatam. And the second part of tattva sandarbha is prameya. Prameya means that which is known through the source of knowledge. Who is known through the source of knowledge? Who is known through Bhagavatam? Krishna. So tattva sandarbha establishes that Bhagavatam is the basis of all knowledge, and what is known through Bhagavatam is Shri Krishna. Second sandarbha is, anyone knows the six sandarbhas Prabhupada has given here? Second sandarbha is, after tattva sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha. So, six Sandarbhas. First is Tattva Sandarbha. Second is Bhagavan Sandarbha or Bhagavat Sandarbha. That Sandarbha talks about the difference between Bhagavan feature and Brahman feature. See, there is in that verse Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Three categories are given. Tat Tattva Vidas. So, Bhagavan and Brahman, because Brahman itself does not have any, you know, is dependent on Bhagavan. It is only the effulgence of Bhagavan. So, Jiva Goswami does not write a separate Sandarbha for Brahman. He includes it in the definition of Bhagavan. So, that is the second book, which is the Bhagavan Sandarbha. And that Bhagavat Sandarbha, it describes the different forms of Bhagavan and the Shaktis of the Lord, including Maya Shakti, for example. Tattva Sandarbha is also very interesting, because Tattva Sandarbha in Sandarbha 43, he establishes the Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Up until then, this word Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva you will not find in any other literature. You see, Jiva Goswami systematized the philosophy of Mahaprabhu. Because when systematic philosophical understanding does not exist, then we all have our own understanding. I had a friend I had a friend from Pakistan in one of my workplace, and we were traveling together to Birmingham on the train, and he was discussing something about philosophy of the Quran, and we were just having a discussion. Zahur, his name was. And then I asked him, so how many different philosophies do you have? Like, you are saying the Quran says this, but then somebody else is saying there is another meaning of jihad, and you are saying this is the meaning of jihad, there is another meaning. And I quoted a few verses in Arabic that I knew. Then he said, yes. And I said, how many versions of Islam do you have? And he said, to be honest, Karthik, there are as many versions of Islam as many Muslims exist. What is the meaning? That every Muslim has his own version. This is what happens when Siddhanta is not understood. How many versions of ISKCON philosophy do we have? As many ISKCON devotees there are. It can become like that. But then that cannot be. There has to be a Siddhanta. There has to be an understanding of that Siddhanta. It cannot be that I have my own way of performing bhakti, which is right, and you have your own way of performing bhakti, which is also right. Yato mat tato pat. This is not correct. So, Jiva Goswami saw this. How the entire philosophy will be watered down. Bhaktivinoda Thakur revived the same thing. Dasa Moola Tattva he wrote. Where he started collating all the principles of Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada did the same thing. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya book. Where he first produced all the teachings together. So it's very important that we understand the Siddhanta. And this Siddhanta is understood through the Sandarbhas. So what is a Sandarbha? Sandarbha, now I will just stick to this definition of Sandarbha which is given by Baldev Vidyabhushan. Again, just imagine somebody like Baldev Vidyabhushan, he was a Madhva sannyasi from Madhva order. He had only understanding of Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja. He had never come across Mahaprabhu's philosophy. And just out of curiosity, he read this Sat Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. After reading these, he said, I must go to Vrindavan and learn more from a proper guru. Because you have to learn from a guru. And he went and took shelter of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Baldev Vidyabhushan became Gaudiya Vaishnava. How did he become Gaudiya Vaishnava? From these sandarbhas. So powerful. Our Srila Prabhupada, he says, I dedicate the Bhagavad Gita to Baldev Vidyabhushan. He was a Madhva, became Gaudiya. And he has then given his commentary on the sandarbhas. And in his commentary he says, what is a sandarbha? Gudarthasya prakashascha. Sandarbha means five qualities of a sandarbha. First quality, gudarthasya prakashascha. Sandarbha reveals that which is very secret, which is not obvious. Jiva Goswami's work reveals the secret of the tattva, bhakti and Krishna. So the three things, the sambandha, abhideya and prayojana. Tattva sandarbha is about sambandha, but from a tattva point of view. The next sandarbha, Bhagavan sandarbha, Bhagavat sandarbha is also introducing sambandha, but in Bhagavat sandarbha he is talking about Bhagavan feature and Brahman feature. Beyond that is Paramatma. So the third sandarbha is Paramatma sandarbha, which also talks about sambandha. The fourth sandarbha is talking about Krishna, Krishna himself. And it ends with description of the various verses of Bhagavatam, but it ends with the first verse of Bhagavatam, where Jiva Goswami shows how the first verse of Bhagavatam actually does not refer to Krishna, does not refer to anyone. It only and only refers to Srimati Radharani. And he proves that. He explains it beautifully. We have no time to go through all those things. But Krishna, so these four things, Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha and Krishna Sandarbha tells us the Sambandha Jnana. Once the Sambandha is established, one has to act in that relationship. So the next is Abhideya Jnana, which is established through Bhakti Sandarbha. Because devotional service is the means, is the method through which one establishes that Sambandha. And once one performs devotional service, one attains the final goal, prayojana, which is love of Godhead. That is the sixth sandarbha called Preeti Sandarbha. Preeti means love. So this is the logical way that he has. One has to spend at least a few years on the sandarbhas to assimilate them well. And then one can understand what gudarthasya prakashascha. Sandarbha means it reveals that which is secret. You see, when a secret is revealed, it may be sometimes revealed in passing, or it may be revealed in a way which is not very, somebody who is not attentive will not get it. Our Radhakant Prabhu was telling me last week that sometimes some devotees, they speak something which you have never heard before. What that means is that person has revealed something. I also had a friend in Brahmachari Ashram in Juhu. Every time Giriraj Maharaj gave a class and he spoke something, he would always sit next to me, he would nudge me and say, see, this is revelation. You never heard this before. It means it is revealed. Revelation, this bhakti marg is full of revelations. And great personalities, they just reveal. So this gudartha, the secret is revealed, prakasha is revealed through the sandarbha. Sandarbhas are nothing but revealing the secret of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarokti. And this Revelation is in essence. You see, sar, essence. My daughter, when she was 4 years old, I was telling some stories from the Panchatantra stories. And I asked her once, do you remember the story? And she became stunned. She was wondering, what is daddy asking? And she said, daddy, I don't remember the story, but I remember the moral of the story. Isn't it more important to remember the moral of the story, the essence of the story? She was only 4 years old when she said that. I always remembered that it's important to remember the essence. What if one remembers the whole story but forgets the essence? So the Sandarbha teaches the essence. That's the second quality of Sandarbha. The third quality is Shreshtata Tata. Shreshtata. Sandarbhas reveal the importance of Bhagavatam. The importance of the scripture. Jiva Goswami makes a bold statement in one place, in Bhakti Sandarbha. He says, anyone who does not follow what is given by the Guru or given by the scriptures, one must understand they have really no faith in the scriptures. If they have faith, they would not choose to act against the scriptures. Very strong statement. The fact that they are choosing to act against the scriptures means they genuinely don't have any faith in the scripture. Not yet. It might be developing, but not yet. So here, the importance of the scripture. When one understands Srimad Bhagavatam, realizes the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam, one then develops faith in Srimad Bhagavatam. When one develops faith in Srimad Bhagavatam, one automatically develops love of Godhead. This is the postulation of Jiva Goswami. Fourth quality of Sandarbha, Nanartha Vattvam. Nana Artha, more than one meaning. Many meanings are there. Just like I gave example, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam glorifies nobody else, not even Krishna, only Srimati Radharani. He shows how. These different meanings he has explained. Vedyatvam, and he has only and only described subject matter which is worth knowing. That is very important. When one speaks, sitting on the Vyasasan, when one speaks to an audience of devotees, when one is with a devotee group and discussing, one should not be casual. One should speak what is Vedyatvam. What is worth speaking? What is worth knowing? Who is worth knowing? Only Krishna is worth knowing. His devotees are worth knowing. Nothing else is worth knowing. I met a colleague of mine who had taken break, and he has become a scientist. And he was from South America. So I met him after many years. He was doing his PhD. I didn't know what PhD he was doing. I went to see him in central London. And he was doing a PhD. And the PhD subject he was doing, he started speaking so excitedly about that subject with me. On and on for 2 hours he was speaking. I could not escape. His PhD subject was, he was based in Nicaragua. I don't know if you know that place. There is a strawberry red dart poison frog. Very small. Strawberry means red in color. Strawberry red. He was studying the mating habits of that frog. How that frog will choose a partner. And he was very successful. He was very proud. He had written many papers. He was speaking for hours. And I was thinking, what am I going to do with this mating habit of frogs? Nothing to do with me. I don't even have a frog at home. So what do I do? So this is useless topic. So here, Vedyatvam. Talk what is worth talking. Sandarbha kathyate budhai. This is Sandarbha. This is what he has spoken. And anyway, we have to study the scriptures properly, and our Jiva Goswami has given this literature for us to meditate on. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes it very nicely, sweetly. He says, unless one becomes completely absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, there is no hope to become pure devotee and go back to Godhead. Ultimately, one will have to come to the stage of pure devotional service. One can perform, you know, we all start somewhere and we all perform sadhana bhakti, but one has to ultimately come to the platform of kevala bhakti. Only that is the ticket for entry into Goloka. One cannot enter Goloka with sadhana bhakti alone. As Srila Prabhupada also says, loving devotional service. And that loving devotional service can be attained and can be understood, the starting point being faith. And faith is established through scripture. But how is our affair with the scriptures? We have our affair with the scriptures. I was speaking to one devotee recently, and she was telling me, I'm reading Bhagavatam every day. She and her husband, they were together. I said, very nice. Mataji, you're doing very well. And then the husband, as husbands often do, he butted in and he said, yeah, she's reading, but she reads just in bed. She's in the bed, about to sleep, and she's reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So I asked that, Mataji, do you remember last verse you read? Which chapter? Which canto? She said, no, not really. So I told her, please read. Please give 20 minutes a day where you sit and read. And our Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said this in his book. I think it is from Dasamula Tattva. I'll read it. Very nice, very important. He's telling all of us, he's saying, I have one request. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I have one request to the readers. The teachings of Mahaprabhu are very confidential science. Without applying proper concentration, one cannot understand them. It is common practice nowadays to go to sleep after eating while reading a novel. One cannot read this book in that manner. These teachings are the esoteric truths of the Vedas and Vedanta Sutras. If one slowly reads these teachings, number one, slowly read these teachings. I may like gulab jamun, but if somebody says you have to eat gulab jamun in 1 second, I will not like it. I cannot relish it. Slowly reading. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if one slowly reads these teachings, number two, with faith, number three, and concentration, number four, while discussing the topics with devotees. Make these four as a must thing for all of us. And then the truths will be properly understood. Therefore, give up the bad habit and attentively study the 10 topics presented in this book, Dasamula Tattva. So the importance is that we have to study the scriptures in the correct manner. There are many things to be spoken. One more thing and then I'll stop. Tattva Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, I told you about Paramatma and Brahman. Paramatma Sandarbha speaks about Paramatma. Even there are finer things like how many Paramatmas are there? You will say, what do you mean, how many Paramatmas? There's only one Paramatma. Every universe doesn't have a different Paramatma. So Jiva Goswami says, there are 3 Paramatmas. I'll let you figure that out. Yeah? 3 Paramatmas. Krishna Sandarbha deals with Krishna, and it ends with the first verse of Bhagavatam glorifying Srimati Radharani. Bhakti Sandarbha is beautiful because he starts in Bhakti Sandarbha canto by canto. First canto, these are all the verses that glorify bhakti. Second canto, all the verses glorifying bhakti. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 11th and 12th, not the 10th. Because 10th is anyways glorifying Krishna. But from all the other cantos, he has assimilated all the verses together to glorify pure devotional service. He talks about Vaidhi Bhakti, Raganuga Bhakti, various types of bhakti. In the last Preeti Sandarbha, he speaks about the four kinds of Vipralamba Bhav, Bhav of separation, and four types of Sambhoga also, he talks, meeting. And then he ends with the description of the Rasa Leela of the Lord and explaining all of those verses. So, Preeti Sandarbha is very, very beautiful. At the end, he says, ultimately this love, and I'll stop with these two verses. I had a lot more. So he ends with these in Anucheda 351 of Preeti Sandarbha. He says, yes, there is love between the jivas and the different jivas and Krishna, but ultimately the love that Krishna has for Srimati Radharani, who is none different from himself, is matchless. And then he quotes, Name Tvattaha Priyatama. In Padma Puran, Krishna is telling Srimati Radharani, there is nobody dear to me than you. And he says, when Srimati Radharani experiences pleasure, automatically all the jivas, they experience the pleasure. They don't have to endeavor separately. So, then he quotes one verse from Bilva Mangal Thakur, which I want to quote. Very nice verse. Proving how Krishna actually is only thinking of Srimati Radharani and nobody else. And today I was having darshan and I can see the blue lotus on Radharani's dress. That is, when Radharani sees that lotus, she remembers Krishna. Her favorite color is blue. So there is blue today. And as I was meditating, the flowers from Radharani's hand, they fell down. You know, they dropped. So I was wondering what... And I was meditating on this verse. I want to share this verse. How Krishna ultimately is only thinking of Radharani. Very beautiful verse. Very sharp verse. Radha Mohana Mandirat Upagatash Chandra Valim Uchivan. Radha Mohana Mandirat. Krishna, he left from the groves, he had left Srimati Radharani somewhere and he was just walking about. Upagatash Chandravalim Uchivan. And he met Chandravali. You know, Chandravali is none other than a reflection of Srimati Radharani, but she is also having a different mood from Srimati Radharani. And Krishna is addressing Chandravali. What is he saying? Radhe Kshemam. Oh Radhika, are you all right? He's telling Chandravali. Because in his mind, he is constantly with Srimati Radharani. Radhe Kshema Mayeti Tasya Vachanam Shrutvaha Chandravali. Hearing Krishna say, Radharani, are you okay? He is telling Chandravali. Chandravali replied back, Kamsa Kshemaye Vimugdha Hridaye. She replied, Kamsa, are you okay? To Krishna. And Krishna immediately said, Vimugdha Hridaye, are you of foolish heart? Are you being bewildered? Kamsaha Kvadrita Drishtastvaya. Where are you seeing Kamsa here? There is no Kamsa here. She says, in reply, Chandravali says, Radha Kveti. Where is Radha here? You are saying, Radharani, are you okay? Where is Radha? This shows how Krishna is ultimately absorbed in the mood of Radharani. This is what he Jiva Goswami shows, and in many, many other verses, he shows the mood of Krishna. Vilajjito natamukhasmero. Krishna, he becomes shy, he puts his head down. Hari patu vaha. Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, let that Hari, who is constantly absorbed in the thoughts of Srimati Radharani, let that Hari always protect me. So in this way, Jiva Goswami and I had so many verses which were like a development from Tattva Sandarbha to all the Sandarbhas, one verse from each Sandarbha. This is the verse from the Preeti Sandarbha, so I kind of jumped to the last verse, but it kind of develops very nicely because we have to stop now. But we see how Jiva Goswami has given us the full understanding from establishing the source of knowledge right up to the love of God and right up to the inner mood of Krishna. What is Krishna's inner mood? He takes us through all that in his Sandarbhas, Bhagavat Sandarbhas. We will end with a prayer to Jiva Goswami. And this prayer I will say once so that you know what the meaning is, and then we'll pray and we'll stop. The prayer to Jiva Goswami is given in Bhakti Ratnakara, in Sadhana Deepika. This prayer is Shri Rupa Charana Dvandva. Jiva Goswami, you are completely surrendered to the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami. You always want to protect the words of your guru. Raginam Vrajavasinam. You are always residing in Vraja. Actually, when Jiva Goswami went to Vraj after getting permission from Nityananda Prabhu, he never returned. He never returned to West Bengal. He never went outside of Vraj again. He always stayed in Vraj. He never left Vrindavan. So, Raginam Vrajavasinam Shri Jivam Satatam Vande. I bow down to Shri Jiva Goswami constantly. Mandeshu Ananda Dainam. Who gives even to a foolish person lots of pleasure by explaining and revealing the secrets of Srimad Bhagavatam. So please repeat after me. Shri Rupa Charana Dvandva. Raginam Vrajavasinam. Shri Jivam Satatam Vande. Mandeshwananda Dainam. We pray to Srila Jiva Goswami that he may reveal the finer substance, the finer subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam to us, so that we may develop the faith which will ultimately turn into our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Samved Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Haribol.